biblical counseling and the person of Christ. We've probably all, I know we have, faced the challenge of working with people who don't seem to be getting any better. And you're giving them things from the Word of God, and you're giving them things from the Word of God, you're praying, you're weeping, you're doing everything you possibly can be doing, and they're just not getting anywhere. Am I the only one on the face of God's earth that has ever faced that? Okay, so, and don't answer for yourself, but you think the person sitting next to you probably faces that, where some of their counselees just aren't getting any better? What do you think? Sorry to wake you. What do you think about that? And this is going to be a workshop, okay? So we're going to be doing some yakety-yakking back and forth, okay? Tell me some reasons why sometimes counselees aren't getting any better. What's a hypothetical reason? What's one? Okay, they're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That'd be one good answer. What's another one? Okay, we're not doing a very good job. What are you saying? I think somebody just zinged me. Karen, what do you think?
They may not be saved.
Okay, that's, yeah, absolutely. They may not be regenerate. What's another one?
Well, they may be delighting in their sin for a couple extra seasons.
Yeah, they may actually enjoy their sin, and they're not really interested in changing. Good. What's another reason? Yes? Yeah, we may not be getting at an issue that really needs to be the primary focus. What else? Yes? Not putting time into their homework. Yes? One more. Okay, all right. I'm in the sovereignty of God that that's going to have to get worse before it gets better. There's a lot of, obviously, we could talk probably about that question for a long, long time yet. But here's the one that I want to pose in this particular session. Is it possible that sometimes biblical counseling inadvertently leads to the wrong approach to the Bible, where God's Word is viewed as an end in itself instead of as a means to an end? In fact, really, the question I'm asking you in this hour is the Bible the fourth member of the Trinity? Is it possible that we would use the Bible inadvertently in a wrong way? So where the Bible is viewed as an end in itself instead of a means to an end. I realize you say, wait a minute, this is a conference on biblical counseling. What in the world could possibly be wrong with using the Bible? And my answer to that question would be, well, nothing, as long as we're using the Scripture for its intended use, in its intended purpose, in its intended way. Now, when you think about it, there's a lot of examples in Scripture where people used biblical truth. There wasn't any question about, did the persons involved know the Bible? Or did the persons involved use the Bible? Or was there truth in the equation? But there's all kinds of examples of people who used biblical truth in the wrong way or for the wrong reasons. Do you agree with that? Now, let's think about some of them together. One, obviously, would be the legalists. Matthew 23:23-24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things that you should have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Now please tell me, what is the tendency that is being emphasized in this passage of Scripture? And I realize we're kind of playing the guess what Stevie is thinking game, but it's all right. Think about this text. The problem isn't that they didn't have truth. The problem isn't that they didn't have the Bible. What is the tendency that is being emphasized in this particular passage?
Misappropriation of the Word of God.
Okay, misappropriation of the Word of God. What else?
Or selective obedience.
Okay, selective obedience. What else? Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking. Way to go, man. You're obviously right. No, and those others were correct, too. That's not my point. But that is what I was thinking, the whole matter of majoring on the minors. It wasn't that they didn't know truth. In fact, they knew it really, really well, but they were neglecting the things that were more important. Now, how might biblical counseling be guilty of that? I mean, you realize if we're not careful, we could be doing biblical counseling building Pharisees. You understand that? Yeah. How would you answer that? Okay, absolutely. Just majoring on surface issues or majoring on behavioral matters without dealing with issues of the heart. an important aspect of the whole counseling thing, if you're here in counseling today, I really encourage the folks that I'm supervising in counseling is figure out where you believe God wants you to go in that session and then draw a beeline toward that. Make your questions about that. In other words, and you've heard me say this before, how does God want this person to change most? How does God want this person to change first? Early on in the session, certainly by the 20-minute mark, and I'm not saying this is absolute biblical truth. This is kind of cornbread knowledge for whatever that's worth. But by the 20-minute mark, I think you ought to have a pretty sound idea. How is it that I think God wants this person to change the most right now? What are the most important things? And then the questions that we ask are going to be directed toward that. And the counsel that we give, the passages that we're going to turn to are directed toward that. The admonition or the hope or whatever we're giving, it's not going to be all around the world. It's going to be about that. The homework that we give is all going to be about that. But as a polished arrow attempting to major on the majors. Now, if my counseling is beelined in its approach, then what isn't it? It's not where. You see what I'm saying? And some folks have the view, I think, look, as long as I talked about something from the Bible, it was biblical counseling. Not necessarily. If you're just talking about anything under the sun, the things that aren't really germane to the major issue right then, I'm suggesting to you, you can actually make the problem worse, not better. Because somebody has the view, well, I'm doing something with the Bible. Yeah, maybe some small, minor thing that's not really the major issue, and you've become just like the legalist that Jesus was so upset at in that particular text. Now, tell me, what are the two words that Christ used to describe these persons in that passage? Okay, hypocrites and blind. What's the point of those two words? By the way, those weren't compliments. What were the point of those two words? Hypocrites. What's the point of that? Saying you were something when you're really not. Or acting like you're doing something when you're not the real thing. Okay, all kinds of biblical truth. No question about that whatsoever. They could talk a good game. And in certain ways, they could do a good game. That's what's so haunting about this. They could talk a good game. They could do a good game. But they weren't the real thing, which is why Jesus called them hypocrites. What else did he call them? Blind, meaning what? You don't know where you're going. So you're not the real thing, and you don't know where you're going. Now tell me, how bad would it be if one of our counselees was in that situation? Would that be a bad thing? If Jesus would say of one of our counselees, that person is a hypocrite, that person is blind, that person is not the real thing, that person does not know where he or she is going. If Jesus would say that about one of our counselees, that'd be really bad, right? Please tell me that'd be really bad. And if we automatically say, then we better dump some more Bible verses on them. Think about it through the lens of this passage. Do you realize the answer may be, no, you shouldn't. Or at least you ought to be very, very careful about the ones you take them to. Or you could actually make the problem worse. See, you could give these kind of people some more rules, maybe even biblical rules. And what have you done? Have you solved the problem of them being a Pharisee? No, you actually made it worse. Now they're just going to worship more and more of the Bible. Now they're going to use the Bible even in additional ways different than it was intended. And now they become greater and greater and greater Pharisees. You say, wait a minute, that ain't fair. If I'm supposed to be a biblical counselor, anytime I use the Bible in any way, shape, or form, it ought to be right. Guess what? That's not the correct way of thinking, is it? The Bible's not the fourth member of the Trinity, and it's possible to actually be using the Word of God, but in a way that is different than its intended use and actually be making the problem worse. Now, just presuppositionally, do you agree with that premise? I'm not saying you've ever done that. I would never accuse anybody here of doing that. But I'm just asking you, hypothetically, do you agree that that could be the case? So it's not just